coffee time. Coffee. Cappuccino. Java. Yes.
Shalom, shalom, everyone, and welcome to the Coffee Break with myself, Aaliyah, and with Yusuf. And I just loved that song. We wanted to play you a song this evening that will, as I heard somebody else say today, make you jubel en juich. I hope that is the right word. Hey, my Afrikaans kom aan, Piki, ne?
Kom aan.
Welcome to the Coffee Break. It is so good to have all of you with us this evening. We are so on fire about tonight's topic. Tonight's topic is just going to be off the hook. It's going to be lit. It's going to be legit. It's going to be all those things. Yusuf, welcome to you with a big smile on your face. I know that your dial is ready and turned up for tonight's coffee break.
Amen. I'm plugged in and I'm ready. And I got my voice back. A little bit, kind of. Anyway, it's good to be on the coffee break again with all of you. It's nice to see all the names on the list. And to every single one of you, shalom, shalom. Those of you that aren't feeling well this evening, we want to pray specifically for you that you will really feel blessed that by the end of this coffee break and by the end of tonight, that when you wake up tomorrow morning, that you'll be feeling 100% again. Mm-hmm. So as Aaliyah said, we're excited for the topic tonight. We're excited for what the Father's doing, not only for tonight's topic, but also for the ministry and for the days ahead. So we're looking forward to a lot of things that are coming soon, your way and our way, and we are looking and we're looking
like
forward
an
to
advent?
That. Yeah, it sounds like an advent. So we're really looking forward to that.
Well, Yusuf, I know that you were saying, yeah, things are coming your way and things are coming our way, and it's good because Yahweh is you know always moving, like we say. So tell us, you know, we're going to be obviously seeing so many beautiful people again in June, and that is because we're going to be having a discipleship camp. And now this camp is for people that really have, you know, been through a lot of things and, you know, sorted out their salvation. They're in the Abrahamic covenant. They've been through the deliverance. They've got their salvation sorted. They've gone deeper into the Mosaic covenant. They're keeping the Torah. But now there's that hunger and that desire for more, and to know that Abba Father is calling me. I need to speak out. I want to speak up. I want to do something. I have a passion. I don't know how, but I need to be equipped. So basically how I see this, because we are calling this a discipleship camp, but I keep on saying, hey, we're going to teach a Bible school, because you know what? The truth is that you and I obviously both have, you know, theological degrees and postgraduate degrees. And this is going to be like a tiny Bible school that you're going to get, you know, infused, injected, equipped. And it's going to be amazing. Tell us about this discipleship camp.
You know, Leo, a long time ago, the Father spoke to me and said that this is something that He wanted us to do. It was something that He wanted us as a ministry to take hold of and really, you know, begin. And that there was this need, this hunger for people within, you know, the Messianic faith, and also those that are growing in their faith, to come to a deeper understanding of how to actually live that faith out. So we prayed and we asked the Father, you know, what should we be doing? And I was reminded, you know, how when we, you know, when as believers in the church, we always had these discipleship training classes of how to go out and make missions and things like that. And the Father began to speak to me and say that, you know, my people need to know the truth of the scriptures, but they also need to know how to take this new truth that they have received to people, whether it be in their work situation or whether it just be, you know, whether it be out in the missions field or wherever it might be. So we believe and we felt strongly in our heart that we needed to have a time, a camp, and this might be the first of many that we're going to have on this kind of thing. A discipleship training camp, a time where those who are wanting to mobilize and ready themselves for the work of the ministry can be equipped, and where they can learn how to share their testimony effectively, how to preach a short sermon, how to take, you know, the scriptures as a whole and correctly divide the word of truth. That's, you know, we're not supposed to cut the word of truth with a sword. We're supposed to correctly divide it. So this is a camp for those of you that believe whether you should be on a missions field or whether your current small group setting where you are teaching maybe at the moment, as maybe you're having like a home group study and you just feel, hey, you know what, I'm not so sure that I have enough tools for what the Father wants us to do. So this is what it's about, to teach biblical truth, but to give skills to people and to enable those people and individuals to be able then to go out and make more disciples, to be an effective witness, and also to, you know, to learn. How do we actually study the word of Yahweh? I think a lot of people say to me, you know what, Brother Yusuf, I can read the Bible, but I don't always understand the context of it. How do we understand the context? How do we dig deeper in? And how do we, you know, study biblical, theological truth, not that we had, you know, not the biblical truth that we found in the church, but the biblical truth that we need to know now. The real truth, if I have to put it that way. I'm not saying that there's no truth in the church. No, that's not what I'm saying. But we've been inherited a lot of lies. So we have to dislearn that and relearn new things. And not only that, Elia, I think that when we were in the church, we had Bible study. And then, you know, in the Messianic faith, we began to learn about our Hebrew roots and that. And as we're progressing and as the Father's doing new things, I feel like now's a new season of equipping. Where people have learned, hey, you know what, I have to study the Torah, and they've learned the basics of the Hebrew roots, but there's a new message, and that's the message that the Father wants to equip leaders for, and people who believe that they have been called to the work of the ministry or to do things like this with more tools.
But I believe that it could equip anybody, because
Amen.
Effectively, you know, we're not all called to ministry, and not all of us should be leaving our jobs and going into ministry, because that's super dangerous, right? But all of us are called to shine our light somewhere. Mm-hmm. And all of us are called to, you know, like they actually always say, each one of us is a leader because we will influence even just one person. And it could be the person sitting next to us. So essentially, this is a discipleship camp. Just to become a disciple, it doesn't only mean if you want to go into ministry or you want to lead a small group. It does mean that you can come just to be built up within yourself. Because I remember when I, you know, first got saved and went to the church for a few months, we did these wonderful courses and they were really cool. It was discovering your spiritual gifts and discovering where you fit in and all of those things. And I remember being incredibly excited and enthralled because what I was learning was teaching me more about myself, more about how did Yahweh see me, more about what is it that you're doing. Like, it was so amazing for me. It was spellbounding, for lack of a better word. It was just amazing. And I just remembered many times sitting in my small groups when we did, you know, those kind of courses where you discover, hey, I actually have the gift of compassion. And so I pray that the Father will build that up in me, because I wasn't a very compassionate person when I first got saved. And when I realized that in this thing, I was like, okay, Father, I could pray about that and say, am I compassionate? You know, where do I need to change? And so this is what this discipleship camp is all about. And I truly also believe that with it, what we've done with this discipleship camp, and we're going to finish what we're saying in the next 2 minutes, is that it has a cut-off number. In other words, we only want this to be a small group of people. This is not, you know, a huge group where we celebrate the festivals, you know, together. It's got a cut-off number. So if you want to come, you got to let us know if you really want to come. And because we're going to be a small group, it can be a bit more, you know, interactive and a bit more intimate. We'll be sharing our meals together. We'll be fellowshipping together. So it really is about building into one another. And I'm excited. It is going to be over Shavuot as well. And we know that over Shavuot, we are supposed to have a set-apart gathering. And so that is why it's important. So give us those dates, Yusuf.
The dates will be from the 14th to the 17th of June 2019. And like Elia said, you can contact us and we'll put you in connection with all the information that you need. And then you can tell us, yes, I want to be there. It's something I'm really interested in. And we look forward to meeting you and spending time with you at that specific date.
And we will follow up with more details as they become available, because we are still in planning and prepping. So for now, welcome to the coffee break. And today's topic we're going to be touching on is prayer. Now, don't go anywhere because you think you know everything there is to know about prayer, because we're going to be touching on some very, very important realities of prayer. People can teach you about prayer. I mean, we can sit here and teach you everything that you need to know that the scriptures say about prayer. But the main thing about prayer is to pray. Right? Amen. You know, someone can teach you about something, but you've got to do it. And prayer is about that. It's about, you know, you've got to learn to pray. It's not just about, hey, let's teach you about prayer. But recently, and more recently, Yosef and I have been encountering a lot of people saying to us things about prayer, and we want to address these things tonight, because a lot of people are like, I don't pray out loud because the devil's going to hear me, or I don't do this because my prayer doesn't work, or how do I know, you know, I'm filled with the Spirit because my prayer life hasn't changed. All of these realities, there are biblical answers and truths for it. We want to share that with you this evening. So Yosef, will you open up and pray for
us? Let's do that. Father, we just want to exalt you and praise you this evening. Father, we thank you for your truth. We thank you for your righteousness. We thank you, Father, for all that you have done for us and all that you continue to do. And Father, we want to pray this evening as we get into the coffee break, Father, that ears will hear and eyes will see. And Father, that people will understand, Father, the power of prayer, the importance of prayer. Father, the connection of prayer to our lives and to our walk with you, Father. I also want to pray, Father, that those that struggle to pray, that by the end of this evening, Father, that their prayer life will transform. Father, that it will be a change inside of them, that they will no longer, Father, hide what is inside of them, that they will come to realize, Father, that the same power that rose Yeshua from the grave now lives in them. And Father, that they are able to pray, Father, and that when they pray, Abba Father, it's communication with you, and that there is a connection that takes place. And I pray, Father, that they will experience the fullness of joy and a transformed life as they do this. Father, we thank you this evening, and we praise you. And Father, I just want to pray blessing on every single person that joins us. I pray, Father, that there will be people tonight that join, Father, that will be richly blessed by the content. And also, Father, that by the end of this evening, that they will just be so filled with joy, that all the burdens, Father, of the last week will just be lifted in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. I'm going to put a disclaimer out there. I have the coolest headphones ever, and they are pink. So as I sit here right now, you can imagine me with my pink headset. And Yosef and I, our microphones and our stands and everything look the same. Mine's got a pink ribbon on it. But I just want to say that disclaimer is that my headphones have started squeaking, and I can hear them squeaking when I'm moving around. So I try and keep dead still, but it's a bit hard for my neck. I don't know why they're squeaking, but they're really cool. And I'm not going to get rid of them just because of the squeak. So that's a disclaimer. Yosef, you know what? When Yeshua was with his disciples upon this earth, and we've touched on this before on the coffee break, and also in teachings, but it's important, this reality is that when Yeshua was with his disciples upon the earth, he prayed. He left a legacy of prayer for us. He often withdrew to, it said, lonely places and desolate places. In other words, places of solitude where no one else could get him, or nowhere, no one else was there. And he withdrew to those places so that he could communicate with Yahweh, so he could communicate with his Father. But also then when he, you know, came with his back together with his disciples, people would come to him and he would perform miracles and he would pray. And people watched him pray. And one of the big things that the disciples ask Yeshua for themselves personally is, teach us how to pray. And the truth of the matter is that they saw Yeshua praying in a way that no one had prayed before, with that power, with that authority. But I also personally believe that, you know, Yeshua epitomized this relationship that we should have with the Father. He was so close to the Father that when he prayed, he actually says, and we have that in the Gospels, he says to Yahweh when he prays, he says that, Father, I know that you hear me. And that really struck me as I was preparing for the coffee break, because I read that in the Gospels, and Yeshua is in prayer and he says, Father, I know that you hear me. That is so confident, and it's not arrogant, and it's not, you know, anything else besides the fact that he knew the intimacy between him and Yahweh. He knew that he was just one with Yahweh. And so when he prayed, he knew also because he was so submitted to Yahweh's will, so submitted to the will of his Father, and so living in perfect step with his will and in obedience, that when Yeshua prayed, he said that, Father, I know you hear me. And I just wonder how many times we feel that way in prayer. Do we feel that way in prayer when we're asking for something, or when we're asking for personal healing, or when we're asking for the Father to lead us? Say we're going for a job interview and we want the Father to go before us. Do we pray it and say, Father, you know, X, Y, and Z, Father, I know that you hear me. Amen. Thank you. And maybe, you know, it's not always about expecting that your outcome will be the best, but it's about knowing that Father hears you, and because of his love for you, he's going to do what's best for you. So it's amazing to think that when Yeshua prayed, he really spoke to the Father knowing that Yahweh hears him. And I think that that's really beautiful. And I think that that was the aspect that Yeshua brought in when he was praying, and when his disciples said to him, teach us how to pray, because they could see that, yes, it was with power and authority, but it was also with connection and commitment and just oneness with the Father. And imagine seeing that upon the earth, someone so one with Abba Father that when they pray, they are just so, you know, in tune with Yahweh. It's just a beautiful thing.
You know, Leah, you said that the oneness that he had with his Father, and I think that's something that we as people, we struggle to sometimes fully comprehend, or we do think about it and we look at it and we say, well, you know, Yeshua and Yahweh are one. And then we think, well, because they are one, that's why he prayed like that. Mm-hmm. And then we think that maybe then we will never be able to pray in that manner. But that's not true, because Yeshua tells us, he says that my desire for you is to be one like I am one with my Father. So his desire is not a far-fetched thing. It's not something that we can't attain to. His desire from the very beginning with his disciples was continuing the work that he started, but also that work would be established in them, and that the way that he was one with his Father would also be the way that they were one with him. And because he said that, he said, if you are one, if you remain in me and I remain in you, then you will ask and you'll pray according to my will, according to what I've given you. And you know, you mentioned that passage of scripture where Yeshua is praying. He's praying. And you know, I always think about that passage of scripture. These are his disciples. These men, right? They are Jewish men. They are Hebrew men. And they know that, you know, a lifestyle of prayer is what would be a normal Jewish person's life. They would pray. And there would be certain times of the day where they would go to the temple and they would have to pray. Even though they were fishermen, they still, I believe, continued in the way that they were taught by their parents and the society as a whole. So they would pray. But yeah, they have now been with Yeshua for quite some time already. And now Yeshua goes up, and it says in Luke chapter 11 and verse 1, it says, and it came to be while he was praying in a certain place, as he ceased, one of his taught ones said to him, Master, teach us to pray, as Yohanan also taught his taught ones. And I believe, Aliyah, that the way that Yeshua prayed, like you said, was a powerful display of unity. It was a powerful display of oneness. It was a powerful display of authority. It didn't necessarily mean that he has a man that was sitting and praying aloud, a loud, fired up prayer, shouting and screaming. No, but when he prayed, there was something that caught their attention. I believe there was this manifest presence of Yahweh right there with him, because he was one with his Father. He was talking to his daddy. Mm-hmm. And as he spoke to his Father, his disciples recognized that there is something here that is different. And they said to him, teach us to pray like you pray. Teach us how to pray. We know how to pray in our own way, but we want to pray prayers that are meaningful, and we want to pray with authority. We want to have that assurity like you have, that when we are actually praying, that the Father is hearing us. And you know, Aliyah, that comes, I believe, through only one thing. It comes through intimacy. It comes through a knowledge of knowing your identity in Messiah Yeshua. Because when you know your identity in who he is, there comes intimacy because of your relationship. You're not afraid to stand before him. You're not afraid to pray. You know that, you know, even though I've made mistakes today, even though I've maybe done a few things that I shouldn't have done, Father still looks at me and Yeshua still looks at me, and because of his sacrifice, I can stand here and ask for forgiveness. And because I can ask for forgiveness, no matter how much is inside my head and the enemy is playing tricks on me to say, hey, you know what, you're praying but he's not listening, we know that the Father's gracious and that he listens. And that intimacy that was bound with Yeshua, it produced a powerful display of almost like a bomb, if I have to put it like that. And it's the same thing that happens with you and I. When we intimate with a father, there's a birthing that takes place. And when that birthing takes place, you literally step into a different realm that when you're praying. So you're no longer in the fleshly realm, but you're stepping into the spiritual realm. And that's what Yeshua was doing. When he prayed, I believe he was no longer in his fleshly realm. He was in the spiritual realms talking to his father. Even though he was on earth, he was talking to his father. And that's what they recognized. And because they recognize that, they could say, hey, you know what, there's something here that we need. And you know, Leah, I think one of the biggest things that the body of Messiah struggles with is prayer. They struggle with praying corporate prayers, for one, but they also struggle with praying in the sense of praying powerful prayers that bring the presence of Yahweh there, because of guilt, maybe, because of fears, because of, well, you know, maybe I don't pray like so-and-so prays. But the Bible tells us that Elijah was a man just like you and I. He was just a man. Even though, you know, Elijah's life, when Elijah walked upon the earth, Elijah was a fearful man. Elijah was a man that did wonderful, powerful miracles. But yet, when he had the opportunity to do things that he should have done, he still hides away and goes and runs away from what he should have. But the Bible says in James, it tells us clearly that he was a man just like you and I. He was a fleshly human being with struggles just like you and I. But when he prayed, because of who he was in Messiah Yeshua, the heavens stopped raining. There was Yahweh heard him. Not because he was supernaturally Elijah or some great prophet. He heard him because of his heart and because of his commitment to the Father. That's what it's about. When we do that, Aaliyah, and we begin to realize the importance of prayer, and we're going to talk about that as we go on this evening. I think one of the things that we don't realize is how prayer purifies us. How prayer actually gets us to a point of purification. The spirit in us rises up when we pray. And when we pray, it's when the fire gets stoked. And when the fire gets stoked, the purification process continues. And the reason why people struggle with the purification part is because they're not willing to actually go and pray and ask the Father, show me, reveal to me, lead me. Only when we pray does the Father reveal things to us.
And there is no formula for prayer. We shouldn't want a formula. Over the years, people have instituted a formula for prayer. And I remember when I was in school, and this really haunted me for many, many years of my life. I remember being a young child of about 9 years old, and there was this very militant teacher, and she wasn't a nice lady at all. And she came into the classroom one morning, and we always used to start off school with a prayer, you know, because back in the day you did. So she would pray, but she was... oh, she was just crazy. And then she would be like, rrr. She was like a soldier. She was a sergeant. She must have been in the army before she became a school teacher. And she was just militant. And then she prayed, and then she stopped and she said, okay, today I'm going to teach you how to pray. And we were all like, okay. And she started writing down these things on the board. She said, first, you must pray for the nations. Second, you must pray for your parents. Third, you must pray for your church. Fourth, and she gave us this detailed outline, and you wouldn't believe what she said at the end. Right at the end, she had all these things on the board, and right at the end, she said, lastly, and only if you really, really have to, you pray for yourself. Because any other time that you pray for yourself, you're just being selfish. And I'll never ever forget that because of, you see, that's the whole thing. Because of that militant way that she was and that aggressive way that she was, it instilled a fear of prayer in my life. And I was a child of 9 years old. I didn't know Yeshua. Like, obviously, I knew who Yeshua was. And, you know, I knew, you know, I had been to church before and stuff. But, you know, I wasn't really saved and all that kind of thing. But it really instilled that fear in me of, is this really the truth? And you see how even this is now reflecting on how do we teach children to pray. You know, we shouldn't ever present a picture of Yeshua that you must pray and this is how you must pray and this is how it's got to be. That's so militant. And I remember getting saved, you know, 8-9 years later, and I remember coming into prayer often feeling burdened that I had to pray about all these things. And sometimes the Ruach, the Holy Spirit, was leading me to pray into areas of my life where I needed the Father to come through, and I would feel guilty. And eventually the Father revealed to me that what that lady had done was put a burden on me. And that even though I was such a young child, she had said, don't ever pray for yourself. This is the formula. Pray for the nations. And I would stand and say, Father, why aren't you laying a nation on my heart today? But you see, that was because in my innocence of my childhood, someone had told me that there was a formula. And I've realized that as I've got older now and I'm free from that, I've realized that a lot of people come even to us and say, how do I pray? What's the formula? And a lot of us have that formula mindset. There is no formula. You know, sometimes the Father could just want you to pray for yourself for a whole year because you need to be built up in the spirit, or you need healing in a certain place in your life. When the time is right, and you open to the leading of the spirit, the Father is going to drop nations into your heart. He's going to drop those things. And I remember when I was first saved, I used to see pictures of missionaries that were out, and the Father would say to me, pray for this person now, because they're in danger. And he did that to me a lot, and would show me a picture of a woman, show me a picture of a man, show me people, and they needed prayer. And the Father does that because you're in step with his spirit. It's not about a formula, and we need to get that mindset out of the way of saying, I can't pray for myself, or I can't pray into this area, or, you know, prayer isn't a formula. And sometimes the Father just wants us to sit with him and enjoy him. And that's a big thing, because that's intimacy. It's sometimes you just sit, and it's, you shouldn't have to feel like you need to fill up the time. It's not a radio broadcast where you have to talk continually. It's a intimate relationship that you're enjoying one another. And the Father wants us to sometimes sit with him and be in the silence with him and just really enjoy his presence, and maybe just sing him a song from your heart, or just dance before him for 30 minutes. Dancing like that before the Father is prayer. There's so many different ways. Prayer is a conversation. It's a connection that we have with him. And it's the way that we experience our relationship with him. It shouldn't be that we seek a formula, and we shouldn't feel guilty when we do not fill up the time with words, because sometimes we just look for things to say. But why can't we just be there with him in that space?
So I have a question, Aaliyah. You know, so many times as we've gone out and ministered, I've heard so many people say, you know, so many different things. And one of the things that always seems to pop up is, well, you know what, Brother Yusuf, I really want to pray, and I know that I must be praying, but I don't pray out loud because I'm scared that the enemy will hear me. I'm scared that Satan will hear my prayers, and then if he hears my prayers, then, you know, it's going to be against me. And, you know, I've always had an issue with that, because, you know, when I look at the scriptures and I look at, for example, the book of Acts, how I see, you know, for example, we have Paul and Silas sitting right there in jail. Mm-hmm. And they're sitting in jail, and the jailer's sitting there, and they begin to sing, and they begin to worship, and they begin to pray out. And it says clearly in the scriptures that everybody could hear what was going on. And as they prayed, and as they were singing hymns and songs to the Father, that's when the chains broke off them. And not only that, but we read in other places in the New Testament, how the early congregation, how it was the prayers of the early congregation that was so crucial to the supernatural events that marked the early days of the body of Messiah Yeshua. Without the prayers of the body, and without the worship, you know, the Bible tells us that they would get together, and it tells you specifically for the breaking of bread and for the fellowship and for praying. Mm. And they would pray together. And I think that we've been bound by our own things, or our own ideas sometimes that we've picked up over the years from different places. For example, the whole saying of, you know, binding and loosing, and everybody says, well, I'm going to pray and bind the devil, but then the enemy's still busy running around left, right, and center. And then we wonder, but we've all been praying, let's bind him. But the Bible doesn't say binding and loosing means that you go around binding the enemy. That's not what the Hebrew phrase means. So we have this misunderstanding. So the question that I have and I want to ask you is, what do we do when people come and ask that kind of question, or say, I don't want to pray because of this?
I totally prepared for this question, even though you didn't, you weren't going to ask me. But I believe that we need to get to that question when we come back after our first song for the evening. And this is a really cool song, and it's a brand new one from Phil Wicken and Chris Kwelala, and it is called You Cannot Be Stopped. It's all about Yeshua. He cannot be stopped. He is the great I Am. Enjoy the song, and when we get back, we will continue to talk about prayer. So don't go anywhere. Thank you.
The dark tried to hide you and steal you away. Death tried to keep you inside of the grave. The enemy fought you, he tried but he lost. You cannot be stopped. When we cried for freedom, you tore down the walls. The weight of our burdens, you carried it all. Our fears and our failures hang dead on the cross. You cannot be stopped. Stop our God. There is nothing. There is nothing.
You cannot be stopped.
There's nothing that can stop
no,
our
you
God.
You cannot be strong.
There's nothing that can stop our God.
You're fighting for us.
There's nothing that can stop our God.
Welcome back to the Coffee Break, and tonight we are talking about the power of prayer and the importance of prayer. And when we talk about prayer, we're not only just talking about the importance of sitting at home and just praying, but we're also talking about those kind of prayers that Yeshua prayed, audible prayers, prayers that make a change, and also seeking Yahweh in prayer, how important it is. So, Aaliyah, I asked you a question before we went to the break, and my question to you was, what do we say to people when they say, I don't want to pray out loud because I am scared that the enemy is going to hear me?
Yusuf, I'm not going to tell you.
If you don't tell me, you got to tell them.
You know, that's a big thing, because I've heard that that question quite a lot, but I want us to, you know, think about John chapter 15. And obviously it's a very long chapter, and so we can't read all of it. And we know John chapter 15 very well, and many people probably do. And it's talking about Yeshua as the vine and us as the branches. And it says that, you know, obviously we know that it says that every branch that continues to bear fruit, he will readily be pruning it, and he will be helping us bear more fruit. But if we don't, then the branches are cut off. And that's generally what we do remember. But then we have this beautiful thing where Yeshua actually talks about prayer here, and he's talking about the things that we ask for. And it says in verse 7, and this is touching, going to be touching into the question that you asked. It says in verse 7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, that is, if you are vitally united with me and my message lives in your heart, then ask whatever you want and it will be done for you. For my Father is glorified and honored by this, that when you bear much fruit, you will prove to be my disciples. So there he says, ask whatever you want, it will be done for you. And people love to just take that one verse out and to say, yeah, well, you know, I'm just going to pray whatever I want, and the Father's just going to bless it to me. Oh, I want this, and oh, I want that, or whatever. But the truth of the matter is, that's not really what Yeshua is saying. He's saying that when you're in his will, and you're walking according to his will, and you are asking for his will, and you're asking to live in his will, then these things will be done. So it's about, you know, the Holy Spirit was given to us, the Ruach is given to us for many different reasons, but one of those reasons is to pray and to connect with Yeshua, and that we pray through Yeshua, and we pray to the Father, because that's what he said to us. And the truth is that he says that, you know, we can then pray when we're praying in his will and we're bearing fruit and we're living in obedience to him. We can then pray and we can ask these things and the Father will bless it to us. So my thing is this, that he says here, then he goes on in verse 9 and says, I've loved you just as the Father has loved me. So now remain in my love. And exactly, you said something, you know, before we went to the song that said, just one thing exactly how you said it, but you were talking about the reason why people don't pray, and the things is also that woundedness and also not knowing our identity in Messiah Yeshua. And that's what it comes down to, Yosef. When someone comes and says, you know, I don't pray out loud because the devil's going to hear me, they actually have put the devil opposite Yahweh and made him more powerful. It's the same here, is that people don't ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit because they believe they're going to get a false spirit, or they're going to, you know, maybe the guy praying for them is not so kosher, so they're going to get filled with a demon, or, you know, something bad's going to happen. And there's all this fear of the devil and the bad, and we're always looking for the bad and everything. And there's people that are actually so fixated on, oh, there's evil here, or oh, there's this and that, that they've actually elevated the devil above Yeshua. Do you believe right now that Yahweh loves you or not? No, if you ask for the Holy Spirit, you know, Yeshua says here in verse 7 that you must now pray in accordance with his will and remain in him, and then ask, and then if it's according to his will, he will do it. But there's one thing in the scripture that he says that we can ask for and he will give it to us. No, it's not money. It is the Holy Spirit. He says that if we ask, if anyone lacks, we must ask for wisdom, and we must ask, how much more will the Father not give us the Spirit freely? And that's what Yeshua says. That is this promise that we have, that if we ask for the Spirit today, he's going to give us the Spirit today. So it doesn't matter what. If we are asking for the Spirit, if we are asking to pray through the Spirit, if we're asking for the Father's will, we need to get away from that mindset. The devil has lied to us, Yosef, to say, don't pray out loud. Why? Because he knows the power of the prayers that we pray out loud in obedience to the Father's will. If we are bearing fruit and we're walking in the will of Yeshua, and we praying his will, that's what it means to pray in the Spirit. Not speaking in tongues, to pray in the will of the Father, then we are praying in that. And the devil knows how powerful those prayers Amen. Are. He knows what it's going to accomplish on this earth, because you know what's going to happen? The prayers that we pray are almost like a prophecy. When you are just so connected with the Father and you are praying, and you're just praying, whether it be for yourself or for other people, you begin to pray prayers that just have so much power in it, that you're almost, there's a ministry that's going out from you in that moment. It's almost like what you're praying is almost a prophecy, because you're praying and thanking the Father, and he's sharing things with you. And the devil knows the power of those prayers. So the truth of the matter is that if somebody still believes that they can't pray out loud because the devil's going to hear them, it's that they're almost you know, idolizing, the devil has become this liar and you're worshiping the lie. You're actually worshiping the lie. The devil's lied to you. He told you don't pray out loud and he said that I'm going to hear you. You know, do we honestly believe that, do I honestly believe that when I'm talking to my father, that he's going to allow the devil to sit right next to me? I'm standing in the presence of the Almighty God and I'm praying. Do I honestly believe that the devil is standing right next to me? I mean, what kind of father then do we serve? Yahweh wants to be with us in prayer. I'm praying and worshiping him. He's not going to allow the devil to be there. That's my personal belief. I've been through this with the Father. So that's my personal conviction and belief. My Father loves me. My Father loves you. And he says, remain in me. Let my love remain in you. Let's focus on his love and get rid of all the lies. The devil is a liar. And he doesn't want us to pray. Yes, if he wants us just to, oh, pray in your mind. There's no power in praying in your mind. What if I come to you and say, oh, I'm really sick and I need you to pray with me. And you go, hey, Leah, I'll pray in my mind for you. I mean, you're not going to witness a miracle.
Amen. You know, Leah, you said now you're not going to witness a miracle. Before the break, I said that one of the most intense places for purification is the place of spirit-filled prayer. And you know, a prophet can only prophesy as much as they spend time in the presence of the Father. And how do they spend time in the presence of the Father? Yes, maybe you're going to say, well, they stand and they worship him. Yes, they do. But a prophet has to pray. Go and read the scriptures. And every single prophet that you read about, Ezekiel, Samuel, Daniel, all the prophets of Yahweh stood and prayed. Daniel was in trouble because he was praying. Mm. You know, the Bible tells us that because of their prayers, they are able then to prophesy and able to speak the words of Yahweh, because by praying, they're being intimate with the Father and it's activating the gift that is inside of them and it's building them up. It's how things get activated. So prayer, for one, activates our giftings in the Father. Mm-hmm. It also helps us to grow, mature, to receive the word. You know, John, in the book of Revelation, he's given a scroll, and that scroll's given to him and it's placed where? Inside of his mouth. And then the scroll goes down and it's bitter. And he's doing what? He's spending time in prayer. And as he does that, the Father places a word within side of him. Mm-hmm. When the scroll gets eaten and put inside of him, it's important that we understand that the scroll gets eaten. Why? Because he has to digest the word, and the word that he's supposed to proclaim and speak is bitter. It's not a good necessarily word. That's what it's talking about. And the prophets, all the prophets prayed. Not only the prophets, but we also see, like I told you, in the book of Acts, we see that prayer was indispensable. If they did not pray, they wouldn't have been able to do the miracles that they were doing. They wouldn't have been able to know, hey, you know what, now's the time to leave the city and go forward. And the Bible says in the book of Acts, it says that they were all together in one accord and they were praying in the upper room. They were praying, and can you imagine how it must have sounded in that upper room? They weren't just sitting there quiet. They weren't just sitting there saying, well, you know what, you pray in your mind, I'm going to pray in my mind and let's be quiet. No, they were worshiping the Father and they were praying and they were speaking and giving him praise. And you know, the thing that we don't understand, Aaliyah, is this. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14 to 17, if I'm not mistaken, it talks about our spiritual gifts, or not spiritual gifts. It talks about the weapons of our warfare, that we have these weapons of our warfare that are mighty and numerous. But you know what's interesting is that Paul doesn't speak about prayer in that, but I believe that prayer is the actual means. If you think about it like this, think about an aircraft on an aircraft carrier. That aircraft carries weapons. It has missiles. It has anti-aircraft guns. It has everything on that plane, right? So when it is on that plane, the plane becomes the transportation for the actual weapons. Prayer is the transportation method. It is the way that the weapons are deployed of our warfare. When we pray, it activates our weapons of our warfare. It gives us faith. It gives us the ability to use what the Father's given us, because we have communication with the Father. So when we pray, and we pray prayers of faith, it helps us to use the gifts that Yahweh's given us. And you know, Leah, there's a lot of people in the body of Messiah Yeshua that have been given words. There's a lot of people that I believe are meant to be prophets of Yahweh. There's a lot of people that are meant to be evangelists. There's a lot of people that are actually meant to go out there and use their gifts to be pastors and shepherds. But the problem why they're not working and moving in those gifts is because they struggle to pray. They struggle to actually get to the point where they pray and allow the Father to teach them through prayer and through commitment with the Father how these gifts work. If we don't pray, Aaliyah, and spend time with the Father and ask Him to show us, the only way that you learn how to wield a weapon is out there on the battlefield or in a training ring. You cannot think that you're going to just sit and be in a virtual reality world all your life behind a simulator and then go out into the battlefield and think that you're going to win. The Father trains us through prayer and tells us this is what's going on, and He speaks to us. And as He speaks to us and shows us, that's how we begin to learn how to use our giftings. The gifts are given to us for the body of Messiah Yeshua. So the only way that you're going to get to use and exercise your gift is out there in the world. And the only way that you're going to really be able to do that is when we pray and ask the Father, firstly, reveal my gift to me. Secondly, show me how to use it. And then help me. And when you feel like, hey, especially a person that's got the gift of prophecy, if they're not in communication with the Father and they're starting to walk around giving words to people, it can become very, very detrimental. So it's communication, intimacy, and back again to the same things.
And also faith, because one of the most important things that Yeshua says, and He says it to His followers, He says, have faith in Yahweh. Have faith in Yahweh. And that's a big thing, Yosef, when it comes to prayer. And it's something that people also ask, that, you know, sometimes they will say, well, I've been praying for the same thing over and over again. Does that mean that I have no faith? Or where's the line between, you know, there is that scripture where Yeshua speaks about the woman and the judge, where she just asks continually for something all the time. And it's like He's saying, well, just continually ask and don't give up. But also there are teachings about where we need to ask in faith and leave it there. Where do we draw that connection between asking, and then about faith? And what it really comes down to is what Yeshua said. And He said that have faith in God. It's not faith in our own prayers. It's not faith in the things that we are saying. It's having faith in the Father and knowing, and that's a big thing, is that knowing that whatever He does, He will do it for our good. And I know, because people have shared with me of loved ones that they had that were on their deathbed, and they were praying for those people, and they had faith, so much faith, that the Father was going to heal that brother, that sister, that auntie, that mom, that dad, and it didn't happen, and that person passed away. And that was so hard for them to deal with, because they were so faithful, and they knew they were so faithful because they knew their identity in Yeshua, knowing that I know who I am in Yeshua. I know that He loves me. I know that He loves my mom, my dad, because they faithfully served Him for 50 years. I know that he loves my sister. Why wouldn't He heal them from cancer? Or why wouldn't that He heal them from this deathly disease? And He doesn't, because they pass away. And I think that that's the big part about faith. It doesn't mean that that person didn't have faith, or that Yahweh preferred them over somebody else. It means that we have faith. That's why I believe Yeshua says, have faith in Yahweh, have faith in God, because this is not about having faith in our prayer or anything like that, but it's about having faith in the fact that no matter what happens, that we still have faith in Yahweh. If someone we pray for is going to pass away, that was the Father's will. Though we may not understand it, we don't have to, because He's still God and He will still comfort us. So it's about knowing that whatever we pray for and whatever the outcome is, you know, we know that our faith is in Him, not in necessarily what we want in that moment, but it still should be, our faith should still be in His goodness. It should still be in His mercy, in His love, in the fact that He's the great I am, in the fact that he's, you know, still God. He's still going to do, you know, what He wants to do. And we see in the book of Job, where Job asks a lot of questions. And even when Gideon is threshing wheat in the wine press, and the angel of Yahweh appears to him, Gideon asks that angel and says, why have all these bad things happened? And the angel of Yahweh, who is Yeshua, the pre-incarnate Yeshua, doesn't answer that question. He just rather says, no, you're going to go and you're going to defeat these people. So that's the thing, that Yahweh doesn't have to give us the answers. And that's not nastiness. It's just a reality of that He's got His own way of doing things. And I think that as human beings, we always want the answers and the understanding, but sometimes we won't receive that. But we still have to, as Yeshua said, have faith in God. and still continue to pray. And I know as well, and I'm going to end off with this evening, I want to end off with saying that, you know, the Father wants us to pray. He wants us to make our dreams known to Him, our goals known to Him. He wants us to make our desires known to Him. He wants us to share our hearts with Him. And He wants us to share things with Him that's so deeply personal and that's just within. He wants us to know, He wants us to share those things with Him. And He wants us just to just be in that moment with Him and let Him know all of us. He already knows that, but He wants us to pray about it. He wants us to share those things. And you know, by sharing those things, He will do things for us. And it's not just about, okay, Father, is this in Your will for my life? Sometimes He wants us to make our request known. He's like, hey, I'm waiting for You to tell me, what is it that You really want? And then sometimes we're like, well, Father, I just only want Your will. And He's like, no, man, what do You really want? Like, tell me what You want. You know, it's like a father. My parents used to do that to me all the time. It'd take me to Macro. You know, we have this big, big factory place called Macro, and we went there every week, and my father would say to me, what do you want? You can have anything in the shop today. And that's how I grew up. My parents were like, what do you want? And I would run and I would grab a doll because I was so like, yay, I can get whatever I want. And my brother, he was like so fearful that my father was going to run out of money that he would not take anything every week. And my father would be like, you're a child, you're 13 years old, why are you worried that I don't have enough money to buy you something that you want? You know, whereas I was like, you know, 5, so it didn't really matter to me. I'm not thinking, what does my parents have money? I'm just thinking that my father wants to buy me something. And I think that that's a childlike innocence that we should have. Sometimes Yahweh's like, takes us to Macro, and He's like, what do you want? Put it in the trolley, I'm going to pay for it. And that's how we should be with Him. We should just be, have faith, not in the things that we often pray, but have faith in who He is. Because Yeshua said, He's your Father, He's my Father, He's your God, and He's my God.
You know, Leah, you said that we must make our requests known to Yahweh. I'm reminded of what it says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. It says praying at all times. It doesn't say praying sometimes or praying a few times. It says praying at all times with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching in all perseverance and supplication for all the set apart ones. You know, so often we pray about all other kinds of things, and the Father wants us to pray, like you said. He wants us to make our requests known to Him. And He also wants us to pray first and foremost for the saints, for those in the household of the body of Messiah Yeshua. Because, you know, there's another passage of scripture that comes to mind, and it's in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 38. And we need to understand what this passage of scripture says, because it's actually saying to us that if we understand it, that we our growth and the success of Yahweh's gospel is dependent on you and I praying. Yes, Yahweh can go and raise up whoever He wants to spread the gospel, but He's looking for you and I to partner with Him, to go out and make a difference. And that's why it says this in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 38. Pray then. He doesn't say ask, He says pray then that the master of the harvest would send out workers to His harvest field. That's what He wants us to do. He wants us to be praying, and He wants us to trust, and He wants us to believe that He can do these things. And there's nothing wrong in going to Him and crying out to Him. There's prayers called prayers of supplication, prayers of petition, when we petition Yahweh for certain things, like you would go to a judge and ask Him for things. We need to understand how these prayers work, and it's so important. And the last scripture I want to leave you with this evening is found in Jude 1 and verse 20. It says, but you, beloved ones, building yourselves up in your most set-apart belief, building yourself up in your faith, then praying in the set-apart spirit, keep yourself in the love of Elohim, looking for the compassion of our Master Yeshua Messiah unto everlasting life. Let us become a praying people. If we want to see the same works of Yeshua that was being worked upon the earth in the time of the apostles, if we want to see those greater works happening in our generation, then we need to be a body of believers that pray and seek His face continually.
Amen. We're going to go to our final song for the evening, and I just want to invite you all, as always, we're talking about prayer, to put down your prayer request there. And you know, if there's something that you need prayer for today, or that you want to have prayed for today, then put them down there so that we can pray together when we come back. And try and do it while the song is playing, this song we've chosen this evening is a beautiful song, and it's about 5 or 6 minutes long, so you have time to type out your prayer request, and then when we get back we will pray together. So enjoy this song. It's called You Delight in Me by Life Center Worship. You delight in me. Father, we just thank you so much this evening that you are so good to us, and truly you do delight in us. Father, your word says that I delight to give you the kingdom. And Father, tonight we just want to take hold of that, that you delight in us, Father, and that you have delighted to bring us your kingdom and to give it to us. And Father, we are just so grateful this evening that we can know you and know your love. And Yeshua, we just want to lift up some of these prayer requests to you this evening. You know everything, and we just want to really pray firstly for that prayer request about somebody being interested in Dresa's business. And Father, we just really lift that up to you. We want to say thank you for this, Father. I really want to pray, Father, that this meeting will happen, that this individual will come, that the talks will be held, Father, and that your will be done, Abba Father. We ask this, Yeshua, tonight, and we cry out to you. We know that this family has been praying for a long time for this specific situation, and Father, we would just want to agree, and we want to come alongside them and agree, Father, that Father, may you bring a good sale from this, Father. May your will be done, Father. Take care of everything, Father. Lead, guide, control, have your way, Father, and protect them in every single thing that they do, Father. Bless them and keep this family, Father, in the mighty name of Yeshua. And we do pray tonight, Father. We pray that everybody that is with us here tonight will truly move into that place of being a true spirit-led and spirit-filled disciple, Father, that is in a place of intimacy with you, that is in a place of prayer with you, that's in a place of power, Father, with you. And Abba Father, we just thank you for that, and we praise you for that, Father. Move in all of our hearts, move in all of our lives, Yeshua. Cleanse out our hearts, help remove the barriers that keep us from you, whether that be guilt or shame, or maybe it just be ourselves or the way we use our time, Father, whatever it may be. Help us with the barriers that stand, Father, in our way from fully coming to be with you and fully being, feel like we are just known by you and fully know you. Help us just be in that place of deep intimacy. Tonight we pray, Father, that you would protect us from the enemy. Protect us from the things that come against our hearts and our minds. Help us be overcomers. And Father, be with us so that we can just grow and grow and grow in you, and know that we are citizens of an eternal kingdom that will never ever fade away. We thank you, Yeshua, and we give you all the glory, all the praise tonight. Yeshua, we pray this in your mighty, mighty name.
Father, we just want to lift up Davi and Debbie to you tonight. And Father, we want to thank you for your children. Father, we want to thank you for your servants. We want to thank you, Father, that as you begin a work in them, Father, that you will also heal them. Father, your word says that by your stripes we are healed. And Father, I do believe, Father, that it is your will and your good pleasure, Father, that you desire, Father, for them to be healed. So we pray, Father, tonight against the attacks of the enemy, Father, against the things that come against their bodies, Father, and their flesh. And Father, I know that it's horrible to be sick, Father. Even myself being sick just last week, Father, it's not a nice thing. So we pray, Father, over their lives, and we ask, Father, that the bronchitis in the name of Yeshua will be gone, Father, that by tomorrow morning, as we said, Father, by the time that they wake up, Father, that there will be a change and a renewal, Father, of their bodies. We thank you, Father, for their lives, and we ask, Father, that they will have a blessed week ahead, Father, that there will be no more complications, Father, in their health, but Father, that they will be strong and that they will be healthy, and Father, that you will strengthen them in Yeshua's name. Father, we also want to pray this evening for Christian and his wife. Father, I want to lift him up to you, Father, and pray, Yahweh, that you will give him strength in the name of Yeshua, Father, to be able to finish his studies as soon as possible. We pray, Father, for supernatural strength, Father, and wisdom. I know, Father, how difficult it can be when you need to study, Father, and hold a job, Father, and have a family. I can just only imagine. And Father, I pray in the name of Yeshua, Father, that you will bless him, Father, that as he seeks you in the beauty of holiness, Father, as he prays and as he asks you, Father, for help, that you will grant unto him that which he needs. Father, I pray too in the name of Yeshua tonight, Father, that you will be with his wife. I pray, Father, that she will no longer struggle to sleep at night. I pray, Father, that there will be a peace that far surpasses all understanding upon her, that true shalom will come upon their household and upon her life. We ask, Father, in the name of Yeshua tonight, that all things, Father, pertaining to her sleep, Father, that is not of you, will be gone in the name of Yeshua. And Father, that she will be able to sleep well tonight. And Father, that there will be your hand of protection upon them. And Father, that they're going out and they're coming in from this day forward will be blessed. And that they will know, Father, that you are for them and not against them. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. It has been so good to be with you this evening.
Good. So
It has been so good to be with you. We're just having a personal sing song. Well, it has been good to be with you, right, Yosef? It's been really great to be with everybody. And we just want to wish all of you just a really, really wonderful Shavua Tov. Hey, before we go, I'm looking at the date as I sit here. Tomorrow night, the moon is supposed to rise, right, which means that it'll be the start of the next biblical month. Many people ask us, hey, when is the moon coming up? So if you're one of those people, know that it's supposed to rise out here in South Africa in the Southern Hemisphere tomorrow night, 6th of May. Whether you see it or not, I'm not sure, but hopefully you will. There's been a lot of rain and cloud around here by us. So yeah, tomorrow's supposed to be the start of the next biblical month. How exciting. But yes, have a Shavua Tov. Keep us in prayer as always as we prepare for this, you know, getting all the details together for the discipleship camp, doing the new radio, and also I'm speaking at a human trafficking event next week, so please keep me in prayer for that, that I'll be able to just to share a powerful word that will really minister to people's hearts and lives and just maybe touch somebody. That's just my prayer, to bring change in that room with those precious souls. And so have a wonderful Shavua Tov. We will see you next week.
Actually, we can ask everybody, please keep us in prayer for this entire month, as there's a lot of things that we have that we need to do this month. So please pray for us. There's a lot of appointments that we have, good things, and we are trusting the Father to really bless from young and old, especially a lot of young children that need to hear truth. So please pray for that as well, that they will hear truth. Broken kids that need to hear the truth.
Amen. Yosef's been asked to share his testimony quite a few times this month. And that's something you haven't done in a long time, right? But it's going to be really, really awesome. So thank you so much to each of you for joining us. We are going to play out with a song. It's a really cool song. I don't know what
Alive song. In Me. And I want you to listen to the words of the song. And I want you to think this evening about what you've spoken about.
Yeah.
That Yeshua is alive in us. And that we and him together, we are supposed to be that hope. We're supposed to be that light. We are supposed to be the light of Yeshua to a generation that is really, really slipping away from truth. And it's so important. So let us remember that he's alive in us. Let him be seen in us in everything that we do.
Amen. Good night. Sleep tight, or enjoy your day to Suri, who's in the middle of it. To everybody else, sleep tight, and we'll see you next week.